praying for the Tollefson family and walking next to them for 2.5 years now as Steve has battled with cancer. You know, he got sent home a couple weeks ago, and then this last week he passed away. And so the funeral, the visitation is tomorrow night at Fitzgerald Funeral Home on Mulford from 5 to 7. The funeral is on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. It'll be in the Rock Church Auditorium. And then afterwards, there'll be a luncheon at Lino's. And so let me just encourage all of us to come as much as you can in those 2 days. Okay? And I know, because of the funeral on Tuesday at 11 a.m., I know a lot of you can't make it for that. Ken Deal came and asked me beforehand, because he's traveling a lot right now, tell me the information, because I think, Ken, are you leaving for California? Right? So some of you are only going to be able to make it to the visitation. Some of you are only going to be able to make it to 11 o'clock. Some will be able to make it for more of that. But we've walked alongside them, and it's been really, really tiring for Sarah and the kids, especially this last couple weeks have been really emotionally and physically tiring. There were people who could come in from hospice and sit with Steve. They chose as a family for that not to happen. And so a number of people plus the kids and Sarah sat with them. But I'm telling you, it was a tiring thing. Not just emotionally draining, but it was a tiring thing. So let's complete this process with them. All right, let's complete it. So if you can be there tomorrow night between 5 and 7, try and be there. And then Tuesday morning is 11 o'clock here. There's nothing before that 11 o'clock. There's no visitation before that. It's the service here, and then immediately after the service, going for lunch. And if you can participate in any or all of that, please do. Okay? All right, and then before we go any further, I just want to talk about another situation because Jamie's here, and he's not always here. He's not always here. But Jamie, I'm going to go over this, and you try and connect the dots for us, okay? How many of you have Jamie Wave? How many of you long-timers, do you recognize Jamie from back when he was a high schooler, right? He's not a high schooler anymore. And he's got some big responsibility in his life, and two of the boys in his life, two of his sons, have major medical needs this year. And Jamie, tell us, they both have had surgeries before. Okay, so let me just stop for just a second. Aiden, if you haven't gotten a chance to know him, get to know him. Because it doesn't matter where he's at. In children's ministry, he always looks at me like this. We get to do this? Like, we get to do this? And he was in the Christmas program and just glowing. I mean, he loves every part of this. So go ahead, that's Aiden. Okay. And Sebastian would be the youngest one. If you see the four boys come in like in a row of like four ducks following, you know, mom, he's the smallest one. He's the one with the spiked haircut. And so that's big things that are going on. This is one family in our church that these big things are going on. I think you don't know the date on Aiden's, but we do know it's going to be at Rush Presbyterian. So we need to be aware and be praying. This is these are big events. Both boys have had more surgeries already than most of us have had at this point in our life. And they're scheduled for more. Okay. And Aiden's here today, but actually when it really gets that cold temperature, they can't take the boys out. In Aiden's case, you know, like greet him, but we're really praying for protection, that he doesn't get a cold, that he doesn't get the flu. All of those are setbacks. And those are big things. And I don't know how this works, but if you go on the church Facebook, You get a little bit more of the story than we have here. And you also get that that these guys are trying to be financially responsible. And so they've started a little cottage industry. And if you were here for the Christmas program rehearsal, the last one, they brought cupcakes in, and all the kids told me afterwards they're the best cupcakes I ever had. You know, the fruit dipped in chocolate, those things. They do those, and I've sampled them for all of us. And they're delicious. And it's a way that that these guys are trying to be responsible and taking care of these, the huge financial responsibility they have with these surgeries coming up. So we're going to work out some things in the next little while as far as them bringing some samples in. So this may save a lot of you husbands in here that keep forgetting those special moments, that it might be right here on Sunday morning. Like, you go to church and get Valentine's Day done, okay? Like a major accomplishment. Last week when I was talking, later in the week, we were sitting with Jim and Bonnie Binning, and Bonnie said at one point that when we were talking about that next step and struggle and change and pain that goes with it, that she just glanced around at the room and realized that everybody in this room gets that to some degree. Like, we get that. And so each week I've been excited about coming and talking about the book of Matthew and this idea of change. And I've also felt this huge, huge weight on my shoulder, because I knew it could be opening up things in our hearts and lives, in your hearts and lives, that are painful and they're hard to deal with. My prayer is in the weight and in the teaching that you're going to find a freedom. And I know this is really going to sound crazy, because of all weeks, this Sunday, what we're dealing with today. The timing of it, I don't understand. I just have to leave that in God's hands, because looking ahead weeks ago and months ago to what January was going to look like and placing a word with each week, I can't believe that this is the week that we're going to actually deal with this word. And the word is death. But I believe if we can just stick with what God's teaching us and moving us towards, that we'll get to a place that we've never been to before. I often tell you that one of the privileges for me is I get to know so many of the people in our church family stories, and I get to know them in detail. And that is an incredible privilege. At the same time, sometimes when I'm moving into teaching God's Word, it takes me through a process, because I know when I say it, it could feel like a spear piercing your side. And I don't want to add weight where there's already weight. And I don't want to add pain where I know there's already pain. Several people have asked me this month, how are you doing? And I think they're asking me because they know the weight of things that are going on, the process that in this month of January we've actually had some funerals that were kind of connected into our church or somewhat connected into our church, but they know that's been going on. They know that the Tollefsons have been going through the final stages of this struggle in Steve's life. They know other things that are going on. They know other situations that we're connected to, that I'm connected to, that carry a weight. And so thank you for being concerned. Thank you for asking the question. I'm telling you, the real weight is this balance that I'm talking about. That here's God's words to us. And they're true and they're life-giving. But in that process, we're going to go through some real pain to get there. And what I would say is, that's life. And I think in Matthew, how do I face change? It's, do I run from it? Do I push it away? Do I just distract myself? Do I put my fingers in my ears and go la 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 and do it that way? Or do I, and I'm going to use this word, or do I embrace it? Which almost seems crazy. But is that what God wants to do? Does He want us to reach out and pull it to us, embrace it, and follow this process on how we can face change? Each week I've tried to give a word, and so let me just get us caught up on the words. All right, Sasha, if you could put that first slide up. Here's that first word is change. Do you remember the quote? And this was somebody who, I don't know that he was a God follower, but I would have a caveat with it, but I understand where he's coming from. The only constant in life is change. Now we would say, that God's a constant, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We would say that. But we're going to face change all the time. There's a lady that comes and usually sits right back over here. And her grandson, Sage, comes to the front and helps with the offering. Right? And again, you may not have opportunity to know the story, but in the beginning of this month, in January, it was the 2-year anniversary of her 13-year-old son dying. And within 2 weeks, her husband, who had been battling cancer, passed away. So she comes, her grandson is with her because her daughter has had some struggles in life, and the safest place for Sage to be is with Gina. And each week I would kind of give her a heads up about where we were going, because I know how much pain she's been in. So I talked about change and then went to pain. She knew exactly what I was talking about. Last week we moved to the word next step. You've heard this, but I'm telling you this. You've had this, but this is what it's going to be like now. Because change, even under the best of circumstances, brings some pain. Change in the most extreme brings pain that you feel like, I don't know if I can live through this. But then God says, if in that pain you'll listen, I'll give you something to hold on to. Because what was is not going to be that way anymore. What is coming. There's this next thing. And in answering the question, how do I face change? There's pain, there's this next step, and then there's two more steps, and that's what we're going to look at this morning and next week. And this week, it's about death. So let me start in Matthew, where God describes to us Christ's death. I really struggled with this week because it starts a couple chapters before this in the process of the Lord's Supper, and everything is pointing towards this. And then betrayal by Judas, and then taken from the Garden of Gethsemane, the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, the trials. But I finally landed just on a handful of verses that I think can help frame for us this process of change where it comes to death. So let me read this. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice. And he says it in a language, but then retranslated for us, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought that he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled the sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. So let me ask you a question. What did Jesus' death do for you? What did it do for me? We just read this scene of darkness, abandonment, misunderstanding, and finally a release, a shout of a release. What did Jesus' death do for you? I want to divide it into these two words. I want to divide it into the eternal. What did Jesus' death do for me forever? Then I want to bring it back to not just eternal, but today. Every day. So what did Jesus' death do for you? His death brought payment for me. Here's the words: salvation, redemption, the possibility of restoration, relationship. So in the dynamics of God being perfect and us being sinners, the gap was big. The barrier was too high for us to do anything about. The payment for that bill was too much. And so Christ died on the cross to bridge that gap, to knock down that wall, to pay that payment for me. Once in that relationship, it is forever. It's forever because it's based on the payment of Jesus Christ and the character of God. It was never based on me being good enough. It's always been based on Christ's love and His purity and His payment for my sins. And so it is for eternal. A couple weeks ago when we went to see Steve up in Madison, first came in, I said, how you doing? Which, you know, I know is probably like the worst. I must be the worst hospital pastor that the world has ever seen. Like all the way to the hospital, I say, whatever you do, don't say, how you doing? Visited the hospital of somebody who was in our church. Their grandmother was in the hospital. And I walked in and said, so how you doing? And she goes, well, Tim, if I was doing good, I wouldn't be in the hospital. I think that would have singed it into me enough. I said, how you doing? How you doing with all this? Steve said, I'm not scared to die. I'm just sad for my family. Right? That's the way he coined it. That's the best way to say it. So how could Steve say, I'm not scared to die? Because Christ hung on the cross. Darkness came. He felt abandoned. There's a lot of misunderstanding. Then there was release. That's that eternal. That's a change that happens in us. There's a dynamic change that happens that I don't understand. I can just tell you what Scripture says, that God's Spirit connects with my spirit. And I'm in Him and He's in me. I don't know what all that means. What I know is there's a change. There's a change in me that happens at that moment. And that connection, my spirit to God's spirit, is a connection because He's eternal. That is eternal. We've been talking about change, and you know, I don't want to make anything a metaphor that's not, and I don't want to make anything literal that's not. What I want to do is I want to understand that Christ literally hung on a cross and died for you and me. And He did that to give us the eternal, but He gave us something even more in that, and that's a pattern of the everyday. That you and I could change. We could change. Sometimes those changes are forced on us. Some of them we choose. Some of them God calls us to, but we can change. And in His literal death on the cross, He gives us a pattern that we can use every day in our life to lead towards change, to lead towards being more like Christ. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show several verses, and I want you to tell me if it's the eternal that He's talking about, the everyday, or both. Okay? I'd love to say there are no wrong answers, but there are some wrong answers. So some of you are unsure, you may want to just go. Okay? All right, Sash, let's go through some verses. First one is 2 Corinthians 13:4, one of my favorite verses. Although He was crucified in weakness, He now lives by the power of God. Is that literal? Yeah. Yeah. That's Christ's death and that's his resurrection. But look at it, it goes farther. We too are weak, just as Christ was, but when we deal with you, we will be alive with Him and we will have God's power. Is that talking about the eternal or is that talking about the everyday? Hey, you did good. If you said every day, give yourself a star. Okay? If you're sitting next to somebody and they actually said it out loud, look at them and say, you're a spiritual genius. Second verse. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But God is so rich in mercy and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. Is that eternal or is that every day? All right, I got a everyday eternal. That's good. That's good. Let me just stop here. I love doing this every once in a while. How many of you moved into this eternal relationship with God when you were under the age of 10? You were under the age of 10. Put your hand up. Yeah. How many of you 20 down to 11? It was in those years. Maybe they're teenagers. Good. Good. How many of you, it was in your 20s somewhere? How many of you in your 30s? How many of you 40s? All right. Wave bravely back there, Wilma. Be proud of that. Okay. It's talking about that literal death of Christ in 2 Corinthians, and then it connects us with we can be different. In this, it's talking about we were dead in our trespasses and our sin, but He gave us life. Go ahead and go to the next verse. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Is that every day or eternal? All right. I got some eternal. Or is it both? Okay, yeah, maybe I should say that one. All right. Go ahead to the next one. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Is that eternal or is that every day? That's that every day. Let me go to a longer one, okay? Go ahead and go to that next verse. Romans 6, 6 through 11. We know that our old sinful self were crucified with Christ so that the sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Okay, we're not an amen church, but that would be an amen moment. We are no longer slaves to sin. Right? Do you know why we're no longer slaves? Because of the eternal connection with God and then the everyday power that Christ's death and resurrection has in our life. We don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. We don't. I love to say it this way. Nothing needs to hold us back from becoming everything God wants us to be. Everything He planned on us being. Nothing needs to hold us back. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Him. When He died once to break the power of sin, but now that He lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Is that eternal or is that every day or is it both? Okay. It starts in one place, that this is eternal, be sure of this. And it's like God takes our hand and walks us through and says, it's every day. It's not just every day that we can have the hope of eternity. It's every day our lives can change. That's what He's saying here. So you tell me, should we push away change, no matter how it comes in our life, or should we embrace it? We should embrace it because God's going to walk through change with us. Even the stage of death, and change always has a step of death. It always does. Something has to die. All right, I think there's one more for us, Sash. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Is this eternal or is this every day? It's every day. It's already establishing right at the beginning. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful. It's establishing you already are in this eternal, never-ending, forever relationship with God. Now, inside that relationship, face change. It tells us about an old part and it tells us about a new part. In some of your versions, it'll talk about the old man and the new man. The old nature, the new nature. It's talking about change. It's talking about where we were last week. The next step. What's next? This is what's here. What's next for me? Let me go back to that Matthew 27 passage and just walk through it a little slower. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink it. But the rest said, wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him. Then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. So can I tell you the truth about death here? Because it's patterned for us. It literally is happening to Christ, but it establishes a pattern that's true of change every time when it comes to the step of death. It's this. At death, there is darkness. So I know a lot of your stories. I know where you've been. And tell me if this isn't true, that as change has happened and pains come, it's come to a place where you just felt like you were sitting and living in darkness. I can't see anything or feel anything or think about anything except this pain. I'm glad in Matthew painting this picture of what took place when Christ hung on the cross, that he adds this. That at death there is darkness. Here's the second thing. At death, there is abandonment. Now, I don't want to take a long time here. But I want you just to think this through really quickly with me. In this process, it started at the Lord's Supper and then moved all the way to this moment. Think about the betrayals and the abandonment. When I say betrayal and link it to Christ's death on the cross, who do you think of? Judas, right? Let's move through it, because I'd love go back and read the passage in Matthew chapter 25 that describes when we're when they're sitting together at the Lord's Supper. Because Jesus says, somebody who dips with me is going to abandon me. And they all said that there were 12 of them there. 11 of them said, looked Christ right in the eyes and said, Lord, is it me? Judas is the only one who says it different. He says, Rabbi, is it me? Like, neon light. But Jesus' answer to him directly was yes, but to all of them is, all of you will. It wasn't just Judas that abandoned him, all the disciples. In fact, one of them piped up and said, you know what? These other 11 guys, I'm not real sure about them. They probably will. But my name's Peter, and I'm not ever going to abandon you. What was Jesus' answer back to him? Man, I'm glad I got you on my side. Or was it something like this? Not only are you going to do it once, twice, but three times. Just read through that abandonment. Like when Christ got to this moment. Let me turn it inside, okay? Not just outside. Not just other people abandoning you. What was Christ's prayer in the garden? If possible, let this cup pass from me. Here's the truth when you're going through the darkness of change, the darkness of death. It can feel like everybody's betraying you. Some maybe are, but it can be internal betrayal too. Internal, I don't even know about me. And then end with these words. Who's he talking to when he says, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? Who's he talking to? God. When it comes to death, literal death or death of change that's going on, I sit with people and they always say to me, I feel alone. Not just dark, but abandoned. You can be in a room full of people and still feel alone. And if you're going through the death that comes with change, you will feel that. At death, there's darkness. At death, there's abandonment. At death, there's misunderstanding. Can you believe it? He quotes Psalm 22:1 with a bunch of Jewish people there, and they're still confused as to what's going on. Is he talking to Elijah? Eli, Eli? Or was he quoting literally one of the best known prayers to any Jewish person on the planet at that time? Well, let's help him. Let's give him something that'll dull the pain, and maybe he can be clear in what he's saying. No, Jesus doesn't want that. He chooses to feel the pain. The pain of me, the pain of you, the pain of humanity. He chooses to feel the pain completely. Then I love this, at death there's darkness, there's abandonment, there's misunderstanding, but that's not the complete process. And let me just say, for us who are Christians, one of the reasons we want to share Jesus Christ is because without Him, this is it. Without Him, any death that you go through ends with just darkness, abandonment, and misunderstandings. This is what the words are. He shouted again and released His Spirit. I don't think I could teach about this in a room full of people who I know the hurts that they've gone through or the hurts they're going through if I didn't have this little piece at the end. And that is, at death there is release. So we moved through the week, this last week with the Tollefsons, you could just see there's this dichotomy going on of wanting to hold on and wanting to release. Some of you have been through it. Somebody you love, and you can't imagine a day going on without them being part of your life, that you could pick up the phone and call them, you could talk to them. you could visit with them. But in that process comes a moment where you say, and you know they say, listen, it's okay. It's okay. One of the things that Sarah talked to me about this last week on the day that Steve passed was that Danny Whitaker had stayed with Steve a little bit earlier in the week and spent really the last night that Steve had a lot of, not a lot, but some interaction that was clear. And Danny forgot his charger there. He happened to stop by to get the charger. And unbeknownst to Danny, that next few minutes would be the last few minutes that Steve would be alive. Hospice nurses who, let me just say this for the one doctor in the house, okay? Nurses really know what they're doing, okay? Hospice nurses, really good. She said this, sometimes it's hard for the person who's struggling to hold on to life to let go, to release, because their family's still there. So, Danny, would you stay here and the family's going to go out? In a matter of a few minutes, when the family went out, Steve breathed that last breath. There's a release. Now, we need to pray for Danny because he's been there in some critical, critical moments. Not just with Steve, but with Rick. And, you know, I don't think it was an accident. I believe that there was a purpose in that, but that still doesn't mean that's not a weight on someone's shoulders. I'm glad God gave us this pattern in Christ's literal death for us. The darkness came. There was a feeling of abandonment. There was a lot of misunderstanding, but there was this moment of release. Twice I've read this same passage. I want to pick up the very end of verse 50 and read through 52. Then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. Listen to this. These are words that are used in Matthew and they're not used in any of the other descriptions in the other three Gospels. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Offering was going on this morning. Sarah was singing. This line, this phrase here, was the framework for the song that she was singing. That we could come into the Holy of Holies now. But up till this moment, you couldn't. This was a place set aside for God. Remember the first week I said to you, this is where the Jewish people believed heaven and earth met in the Holy of Holies, in the temple. There was this curtain that a priest would go in once a year. And listen, it was such a perfect sanctuary, such a place of God's presence that they would tie a rope around the priest's ankle because if he got in there and he wasn't right with God, the reality was he could die, and they'd just have to pull him out. Let me just ask you, anybody want to volunteer for that role? Hey, Tim, good news. You're the guy that gets to go in. Bad news is, you're the guy that gets to go in. But now, out of the darkness, out of the abandonment, out of the confusion. Get this, there is a moment of release and he shouted and released his spirit and this spectacular thing happened. This curtain that was between God and us is ripped down the middle. Yeah. This barrier, this wall that stopped us from walking into God's presence because we would die, that stopped us before, was there for our protection. Now, listen, the next step is death, and it's dark, and it's lonely, and it's confusing. also brings this moment of release. And in the release, this curtain is torn and we can walk in. Remember who Matthew's written to? Group of people who just lost everything. They lost their history. They lost their leaders. Most of them lost family members. They lost their way. How are we going to survive this? All we see is darkness. The pain is deep. We've been abandoned by God. We're confused. We don't even know what to do. Wonder this. I'm going to picture something that's going to touch your eternal in your everyday. Christ is going to hang on the cross. And in the darkness is going to shout and release His Spirit. And when He does, the very first thing that happens is something new, something that's never been there before, opens up. We can study God's Word all of our life, but in the moment that Steve passed away this last week, he knew more of the reality of the eternal than he ever knew in all the years that he lived here. Something was open to him that had never been opened before. For you and me, maybe not facing literal death today, but facing change, there is opportunity for something new that never has been there before to be there. If we get stuck in the pain, we can't hear that message from God. We push away death as far as we possibly can. We're never going to come to the moment where something new opens up to us. Matthew says, at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. No other place does it say it in the gospel. The earth shook. Rocks split apart. Why in Matthew? Why? Because this group of first Christians who had no idea, it was all chaotic, it was all dark to them, they needed something real. They had either seen or heard about the crucifixion of Christ, and they'd made their choice to be Christ followers. They knew that it affected their eternal, but now what God was saying, it can affect you right now when you feel helpless and hopeless. There's a new thing that's opening up. Little did they know we'd be meeting here this Sunday morning because of what opened up. Little did they know that not only the Jews would be blessed, but the world would be blessed. That we'd be blessed. The curtain tore. The earth shook. And I hope we can feel this. I hope we can feel it. I know we can feel the darkness. I know we can feel the pain. I know we can feel the abandonment. But we need to feel that the earth shook because God marked this. And He said, not only is something new open to us, but there's a power behind it that can shake everything. It can shake the ground that we're standing on. It can shake us to a new place. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. Rocks split apart. And tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. You get this? Why did Matthew include this? Because if you and I were alive at that time and we were Jewish, we'd all have family members that had died. Family members who were passionate God followers. Everything we knew had been ripped apart. What are we going to do? And this is what God says in the moment where we say, what are we going to do? In that death moment, He says, hey, in this release, there's something new for you. That has power and impact. I don't get this, man. I I didn't include the follow-up verses to this. The bodies of many godly men and women who died were raised from the dead, because the very next thing says, and they didn't leave the cemetery until Christ's resurrection. So I'm thinking either zombie land or the greatest praise and prayer meeting ever. Ten, 20 people that died are resurrected, standing in a cemetery looking at each other like, what do we do now? We're just in darkness. Yeah, not anymore. Curtain's been torn. World as we knew it shook. And we're alive. I'm not even sure what all that means. Except change is going to happen. Pain's going to come with it. There's a next step. And part of that next step is death. And in death, there's darkness. There's misunderstanding. There's abandonment. There's a release moment. And in that release moment, everything that used to be isn't anymore. And now something new is coming. And that new thing is powerful. And that new thing impacts people around me. Death is horrible. Outside of Jesus Christ. But in Christ, Steve doesn't have to be scared, just sad. Something new is opened. There's a power he's never experienced before. And at least for me, his life's impacted mine. His death's impacted mine. But let's go further than just Steve. What change is going on in your life? Maybe you got some medical news that's not so good. Some financial news. Or maybe it's something that goes inside. Maybe it's not so much outside. Maybe it's God calling you to something more. Something new. You've had a relationship that just fell apart. It died, and with it was some darkness. Some feeling of being alone, some misunderstanding. There's a moment of release, and in that release, God's saying there's new possibilities, there's new power, there's new life in Christ. It's not just the eternal, it's the everyday. Really, really dreading. This particular week, teaching about it. And then what got added to that is a parallel, a real life situation in our church family. And for me, what it is, as God was letting me know, I got Steve. And if you'll let me, Tim, in the everyday, I got you. And what I want is I want you to know all of me and all of life, all of love. But to get there, there's going to have to be change. And when change comes, I'm going to be honest with you. It's painful. I'll make the next step clear. You may not understand it, but I'm going to make the next step clear. But when you see that next step, there has to be the death of the old before you can live in the new. Let's bow for prayer, okay? Lord, I don't know how to fill in the blanks now. I can talk to this group of people, and some I can even know the specifics of, but I can't say that for every person, but I know you can. I know you can fill in the blanks. I know it's a sad time for us as a church because of Steve's death. I also know it wasn't a coincidence that the timing of Steve's passing and the teaching of your words this week. It is sad. We love him and we love his family. We don't have answers to all the questions. We just hold on dearly to your words, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Sad here and celebration there. For each one of us, help us to know that your death was for our eternal, our forever relationship with you. That whether it was the Tollefsons walking through this, or Gina, or Jamie sharing about the boys, help us to know that your death was not just for the eternal, but inside that eternal, inside that forever, it's for the everyday. And that we can face every change. We can embrace it, knowing that there's something new that's there, something open to us that wasn't before, that will shake up our life, our world, and impact others. Whether it's the smallest change of somehow exercising some new self-control, to the biggest change. Help us to know that we can face it because we don't walk alone. Again, Lord, I ask this. I ask that you fill in the blanks in each person's life. That they'll know why they were here this morning to hear this. Why they're here this month to walk through this process. Change us. Help us to know that we all don't have to go to one place anymore, that the temple's been torn, and we can every day, all day long, at any moment, come into your presence and talk to you and pour our heart out, celebrate with you. And that when Christ came, he came to bring change. Change to the world, change to me, change for my eternity, and change for my everyday. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand. I want to talk about next week. Next week, the word is resurrection. It's life. And it fits in the process of change. Change comes, pain happens, next step, death happens. But after death, there's something new. There's a new life. And we're going to be looking at that next week, but let me just forewarn you, our service will be a little bit different than it is regularly around here. We'll be finishing a little bit earlier because we'll be breaking into groups next week to end our time in our month in smaller groups. And in those small groups, we'll have opportunity to talk, to get to know each other a little bit better, and to talk through what we've been learning in this series about change. And we're going to do this over the next 4 months. So some of you can just mark your calendar. I'm not coming the last Sunday of every month, okay? Because I don't want to sit in a small group. Let me encourage you to be here, okay? It is about change, and change that gives new opportunity, new possibilities. If you come and you're in those small groups, you don't have to be afraid that you have to say something. Nobody's going to point at you and say, "What's your answer?" Okay? It's an opportunity to take in. It's an opportunity to share. It's an opportunity, I think, in some ways to begin to work on how does this work in my life? How can that change me? It's an opportunity to hear from other people than just my voice or Pastor Steve's voice, but to be encouraged by a brother or sister. Okay? So next week we'll come to a point where the message time will be done and it'll get a little chaotic. We're going to stand, pull chairs apart, form into circles. You'll sit in that circle and you'll be in a group with other people. Okay? So I'd say sit close to somebody you know, although we'll probably pull you apart at some point. And I think next week's going to be, the groups are going to be subdivided into genders. Okay? So all the ladies will be together in small groups and all the men will be together in small groups. So just a heads up. Change is coming. Embrace it. There's going to be some dying that goes on, followed by life. Okay? And I think it'll be a really, really beneficial thing for us. Let me review stuff for Tollefson's Monday night Fitzgerald Funeral Home on Mulford. That's the visitation. It's from 5 to 7. It's not a long time, but it's from 5 till 7. And then Tuesday morning, Rock Church's auditorium down the hallway at 11 o'clock. And then immediately following that will be a luncheon at Lino's. Okay? All right. I'm going to end with prayer.